The presidential race, focused thus far on the early primary states of Iowa and New Hampshire, takes a slight detour today with a campaign trail for the Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton leading her to Boston. The former Secretary of State joins Attorney General Maura Healey and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh for a community conversation today about substance abuse. For the latest on the campaign, we're joined by our political analyst, Republican Todd Dobke. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Bob.
And Democrat Dan Payne. Good morning, Dan.
Nice to see you, Bob.
Well, let's start with Hillary Clinton, since she's due here today. Should we take this appearance, Dan, as a sign that she can't take anything for granted, even the Massachusetts presidential primary, and even though she easily beat Barack Obama here in 2008? And how does she stop the slide that is currently afflicting her campaign?
Well, it's no secret that the Clintons have always found Massachusetts to be very welcoming. Whatever press she gets here is more important, really, in New Hampshire, because Boston TV is what people in New Hampshire watch. Bill Clinton went after Donald Trump the other day. He's made Trump Hillary's enemy and said that being president isn't like hosting a TV show. He said Hillary has done important work on AIDS, on Iran, on nuclear proliferation. Till now, the only thing we've heard about Hillary Clinton has been her emails.
I think the Hillary Clinton campaign wants to demonstrate strength here in Massachusetts, partly to discourage Senator Elizabeth Warren from supporting Vice President Joe Biden if he enters the race. Politico reported yesterday that there's a lot of talk about Biden supporters wooing former Governor Deval Patrick. They see him as a potential running mate for Biden. And Bernie Sanders campaign strategist Tad Devine sees Massachusetts as a winnable state in the Super Tuesday primaries. And Clinton forces have to be concerned.
Bernie Sanders, he'll be at rallies in Massachusetts this coming weekend, which elsewhere have been large and enthusiastic. Is he going to continue to grow in popularity as he gets better known? And at what point does he top out?
Well, I think Sanders has been underestimated all along. He's far ahead of where Clinton supporters thought he'd be, and his support is real, and it's growing. At some point, it's got to level off. He probably can't get to 60%. But if Biden enters the race and splits the establishment conventional liberal base with Clinton, Sanders will only need 40% or so to win primaries and caucuses.
Well, the first Democratic debate is coming up on October 13th. And Bernie Sanders is, by all accounts, not a good debater. He gets testy, and he interrupts, and he behaves badly. Right now, we only see him for 10 or 15 seconds at a rally. We don't know how he'll deal with having a minute or more to make an argument. He's got to turn down the heat.
Joe Biden and the debate. CNN is reporting this morning, Dan Payne, that it looks like he's not going to take part in the October 13th debate. How long can he wait to get in, if in fact he decides to get in?
Well, I wrote about Biden on the WBUR website, and it stirred a lot of debate. I said he's now living in a national cocoon of sympathy. If he gets into the race, that cocoon will vanish. And he'll find himself defending everything about the Obama administration.
Republicans, Todd Dobke, has Donald Trump peaked? And if he has, how might that change the race if his dominance fades?
Well, I think Trump hit a high in polls before the last debate, around 30%. And then it looks like he's been incrementally going down, 23% in a recent USA Today poll. He's been playing whack-a-mole, trying to knock down any opponent who's a threat by insulting them. But he must realize his disapproval rating is so high with Republicans that he can't improve his numbers with constant aggression. The dynamic is changing. His opponents, like Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, are hitting back more effectively. There is erosion of conservative support for Trump because as he gets more specific about foreign policy, health care, tax policy, it's becoming clear he's not all that conservative.
Carly Fiorina, is her rise in the polls recently a measure of true support, or is it fueled by Republicans looking for anyone but Trump? And can it last, Dan Payne?
Well, she's standing on very shaky ground. She claims she saw a video of a live fetus being killed to harvest organs, and that simply doesn't exist. As CEO of Hewlett-Packard, she shipped 30,000 jobs overseas. The stock at HP fell 50%, and she wound up getting fired by the board. Meanwhile, she took a huge bonus and bought a yacht. So the more we learn about Carly Fiorina, the more problems she's going to encounter.
She surged because she won both debates she was in, coming across as knowledgeable and tough, and like her response to Trump's personal attack in the debate, she knows how to fight back.
Jeb Bush, you can't turn on the TV and not see him as he's dumping over $4 million in TV ads in Boston, hoping to hit voters in New Hampshire. Can he resuscitate a faltering campaign?
Well, Republicans are following this race closely. They're watching the debates, watching the news coverage, and they're making up their minds based on how the candidates act and speak under pressure. And Bush was underwhelming in both debates, and he's often defensive in media interviews. So they're not likely to be as influenced by television ads. He's about fifth place in most polls, under 10% support. So his strategy is to wait until rivals make a gaffe or run out of money and be the last credible candidate standing. But if he doesn't impress voters at some point, he won't do well enough in Iowa or New Hampshire to stay competitive.
About the only advantage Jeb Bush has right now is money. He has to turn around things because his donors have told him that if he doesn't start to move up in the polls, they're not going to raise any more money for him. So he has no choice but to unload the war chest on TV spots. But his campaign has the smell of death about it.
On that note, let's say goodbye. Democrat Dan Payne, good morning and thanks.
You're welcome, Bob.
Republican Todd Domke, good to see you and thanks.
Good to be with you, Bob.